You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, create generational wealth, and afford anything you want in life by investing in real estate. And in today's show, I'm super pumped to be bringing on somebody who has helped lots and lots of people build businesses and exit them, which means sell them for a lot of money. And he's going to show us how we can do it and how you can do it too. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
Hey, hey, what's up? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. Honestly, like week after week, you coming back listening, I really, really appreciate it. Honestly, it gives me encouragement to want to keep putting out this podcast to help more and more people to invest in real estate. In fact, everything that I've built here at Master Passive Income, from all the coaching that we've done, seeing thousands of students now invest in real estate, becoming successful with the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. And now you know I have the IncomeBuilder.io software. It's free right now. Go ahead and get your free trial. It's not a trial. It's like you get a free account if you go in there. We're basically testing it out and it's a beta test. And so we're just getting a lot of people in there using it. It's working great, but pretty soon we're gonna have to charge. Okay, well, I've been building all of this out. Honestly, it's been because of the podcast. This podcast has really been the flagship of Master Passive Income and everything that I do. And it shows by whenever I ask anybody, you know, how'd you hear about me? It was through the podcast. So I really appreciate you listening, honestly, week after week, and even going back and binging every single episode. I get so many people say, hey, Dustin, I did not even need to take your course because I just listened to your podcast and I got the free course and I invested in real estate. And that's exactly what I want. I don't need your money. I make my money through real estate investing. But in the end, the more people that I help serve or more people that I serve and help them to invest in real estate, the better my life gets and the better their life gets. So if you have not started investing, definitely continue listening to the show. I really want you to change your life. That's number one. But number two, get all my free stuff and then change your life by investing. I absolutely love this proverb. When is the best time to plant a tree? Well, it was 20 years ago. The next best time is literally today. If you don't plant that tree today, 20 years from now, you're gonna be thinking, man, I was listening to Dustin's show. I really should have bought one property back then, and then I would have scaled to have 10, 20, 30 properties, but I didn't. No, you don't wanna be that person. You wanna be the person that in 20 years from now, you look back and say, I'm so glad after listening to Dustin's show, I decided it was time to invest in real estate, bought my first property. In fact, last year I bought one single family home. This year I've bought three, and I've also bought a 350 unit apartment complex. My goodness, this is just, I spend most of my time just hanging out with my family, and it just so happens that I get all these amazing deals because everybody knows me as a real estate investor. I want that for you. I want you to be changing your life because you're investing in real estate. And here's another great thing. So coming up, I'm going to be doing, and it's a little teaser, I'm going to be doing a mastermind retreat for real estate investors. This is not RubeCon or the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. This is a small, intimate retreat, 2 days, where you're going to be hanging out with me and a few of my expert real estate investors with me. And it's going to be curated, and there's an application process. We don't just take everybody. I think we only got 10 spots left. And this is going to be 2 days hanging out with me. We're going to be in Denver in September, middle of September. Denver is where it's going to be at. So I'm going to give that more information next week or the week after, but definitely keep that on your radar or your mind that you need to be in the right room with the right people. Let me give you an example. I want to help more people to invest in real estate. And I know that because of Master Passive Income, I have an online business. And so I wanted to learn from other experts. So I recently spent $50,000 to be in a mastermind with Russell Brunson has ClickFunnels. It's a software, but then he also has coaching, business coaching. Well, it's $50,000 for the entire year. And there are retreats that I go to and be a part of because I want to be around the people. It's not the coaching. I kid you not. Like everything they talk about, it's all great stuff. But I go to be around the people because the people who are putting their money into action, getting them in the right places and in the right room, that is the people who are doing something that I want to be around. And so that's why I go and be a part of masterminds. That's why I go and be a part of other events where other people are doing things that I want to do. And so if you are wanting to invest in real estate, be on the lookout. Pretty soon I'm going to be sharing that we are going to be doing a retreat mastermind in Denver in September. So we're, like I said, very, very few people. Watch out for the link of that. But you need to be in the room. And there's two ways to get into the room, the right room. Number one, you take your time and spend your time getting into the right room. And that's what I did. And honestly, I wish I wouldn't have because it took so much longer. You cannot make any more time. You cannot earn any more. You cannot create any more. You can always make more money, but you can't make more time. And so what I realize now is I wish I would have spent the money because that would save my life. I retired at 37 years old. If I would have spent some money and been in a room just like, you know, $50,000 now, I would probably have been able maybe to retire at 34, 32, 30 years old. In fact, my students are now at 30, 32 years old becoming financially independent. It's absolutely amazing that if you're in the right room, then things will take off. In fact, my business exploded once I started to pay to be in the right room. So you can spend your time to get in the right room, which took me a long time, or you could spend your money. If you spend your money, you could always make more. In fact, the $50,000 I spent, I've already made more than that just by being in the room with the right people, with the things that I've learned, with the contacts, and the networking and being around the right people. In fact, next week, I'm going to be going to Cancun. Cancun, there's an all-inclusive thing that there. It's like a seven-day retreat for us. In the morning, you do really heavy business stuff, networking, all that sort of stuff, and then have a great time in the rest of this, I guess, all-inclusive place with lots of fun stuff, excursion or something like that, whatever. I can't remember what the name of it is. But next week, I'm going to go to that. But it's a business trip. The great thing is it's a vacation, and it's a complete write-off because it's a business trip. But there's so many great things about having a business, investing in real estate, getting in the right room, and then spending that money because you don't want to spend your time. You want to spend your money. Now, today's show, I'm super pumped to bring on somebody I met at another mastermind event that I went to. He and I were chatting in the hallways, and he's got an amazing business, amazing podcast. I was recently on his podcast, and he and I were talking about business and about life and about podcasting. We love chatting with other podcasters, and we just hit it off. And he has helped many people with businesses grow their business so that they can exit, which means sell their business. Now, you may not have a business, but if you're investing in real estate, then that will hopefully get you to be financially independent, and that will give you 40 plus hours of your life back to build businesses, and then you could exit them, or you might already even have a business, or honestly, you might even have real estate that you're like, you know, I want to exit this. Well, you can. And my guest who I'm bringing on today is a fantastic entrepreneur and also wrote a fantastic book as well, which I'll get into in just a second. But let's bring on my guest, the real Jason Duncan, on the show. All right, here we go. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you quit that J-O-B, that just over broke job, by investing in real estate and having businesses so you never have to work a job again. Today, I'm super pumped to bring on a fantastic business owner. He also has coached many businesses to become very, very successful and also teaching them how to exit, but exit meaning selling, but at the same time, exit without exiting. He has a best-selling book. It is Exit Without Exiting, as well as a fantastic podcast, Root of All Success podcast. I have the real Jason Duncan on the show. Jason, thanks so much for being on the show, man.
I'm honored to be here.
And this is fantastic. So as we met, we just started chatting about how much fun it is podcasting and how long we've been doing it. So it's always terrific meeting people who've been doing podcasting longer than like a year. Cause man, I meet a lot of people that are podcasting and they've been doing it for about a year. And it's like, oh, that's great. Good for you. But you know, meeting somebody who's been doing it for quite a while is always a blessing. Now you love to help businesses, but you didn't start, you know, helping businesses. I mean, you're a teacher, you know, school teacher and being unemployed, which I like being successful and employed where you have money coming in outside of your job. But tell us about how you went from a school teacher into being a business owner, now coaching businesses.
So I started teaching school in 2007 after 13 years being a pastor. So I had been a pastor for a very long time, got sick of doing that. I said, I can't do this anymore. I got to go somewhere else where I can make a difference And so I went back to school, got a master's in education, started teaching school. I taught eighth grade American history and absolutely loved it. I didn't think I'd ever do anything different. And then in the spring of 2011, my principal came to me and said, "Hey, we need to talk." I said, "Uh-oh." So he said, "Man, you know, the Great Recession," because that was coming out of the Great Recession, which I'm sure as a real estate investor, you're very familiar with that. Mm-hmm. He said, "I have to cut two teaching positions for next year. And you're the last guy I hired in the building. You don't have tenure. And that's how I have to make that decision." Now, I was the number one teacher in the county in my subject area. I was a model teacher. People would come and watch me teach. I had my administrator's license. I planned on being in education forever. Now I was making 38 grand a year. And my wife was working full time. So, you know, we had, I don't know, probably household income of 70 to 80,000. We lived in what we thought was going to be our forever home. Life was good. And then here I'm getting the rug pulled out from under me as doing the thing that I thought, that was tough. That was really, really 2011. Tough. That was April 2011. Okay. Now in March of 2010, I started a company with a friend of mine. It was his idea. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't want anything to do with it. And I kind of did it reluctantly with him. And, so we had been doing that business on the side. And it was an energy business. We were doing hydrogen and ethanol, nothing I was interested in, but it was fun. It was cool. It was something to do. We weren't making any money. And, when I knew I wasn't going to teach, I first thought I'm going to go get another teaching job at another school, but there weren't any to be had. I mean,
everybody's having the same problem.
Well, everybody's having the same problem. Yeah. And I didn't want to move. I mean, I guess I could have moved and I could have got a job, but you know, this is our home. Middle Tennessee, the Nashville area is our home, and we didn't want to move. And so I applied at every private school, every public school in Middle Tennessee. Nobody was hiring. I couldn't get a job to save my life teaching. And so I was walking this line between, do I take this corporate job, which will essentially make me not be able to pursue the business, or do I go to the business, which is not making any money?
It's not making any money, and that's a decision.
Yes.
My wife would say, there's no decision. You know what you're going to be doing.
Well, so I knew that the ethanol and the hydrogen wasn't going to work, but I looked at the marketplace at the time, and LED lighting was just becoming something people were considering. And I thought, we have this energy concept company already in place. Why don't we just retool it and do LED lighting rather than ethanol and hydrogen? Let's do that instead. My business partner didn't think that was a good idea. So we separated and he went his own way. And I had this business and I said, I might try this. And I was going back and forth. Well, the guy that I was interviewing with this corporate job for, he kind of got the sense that I wasn't interested in the job. I had interviewed three times or whatever the number was. And I kept putting him off. Hey, can you give me a couple more weeks? Can you give a couple more weeks? And he called me and he said, Jason, it sounds to me that you are not interested in this job. So we are formally withdrawing our intent to pursue. Yes. And so that was what I needed to push me over the edge. And so I decided I'm going full in on the business. And I told my wife, I said, hey, babe, here's the thing. August the 15th is my last paycheck from the state. If I don't have a deal coming in, my money coming in by then, I'll go get a real job. And she was okay with that. Neither of us, we didn't even know how to spell entrepreneur. We didn't know what that word meant. And I thought, okay, whatever, we'll try it. August the 12th, I got a deal.
Whoa.
3 days before my self-imposed deadline. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool story.
And this is the LED company.
Yes, it's the LED company. So that deal, the part of that deal, it was a hospital here in Middle Tennessee. And
like retrofitting the lights?
Retrofitting their lights to LED. So taking out all the T12 fluorescent lights that were using tons of energy, creating a lot of heat in the building and putting in LED. And it was going to save them $250,000 a year in energy costs alone. And we signed that project. It ultimately ended up being a $2.3 million project. It took about 3 years to complete. The first check I got was only 18 grand. So it wasn't like a lot of money. But the first big check I got was $626,000. And it's like, okay, this is crazy. I made 38 grand as a teacher. And now here I've got a check with my company's name on it for $626,000. I'm going to the bank. And my banker looked at me like, what is going on? Because they knew me. I'd banked with them a long time and I'd open up this business checking account with like $100. And here we are. Cashing a $626,000 check.
What'd you do with the company? Do you still own it?
No. So in 2020, I exited daily operations and went through a 4-month identity crisis. Didn't know how to introduce myself. Didn't know who am I? What am I doing in life? And I had a coach and mentor I was working with, and he helped me kind of understand that, you know, I'm a teacher. I'm a leader. I need to use those gifts to serve others and to enjoy the life that I've been given. But how do I do that? I didn't know how to do that. But out of that process, people would ask me, so you exited your company, because they knew I wasn't working in it. I'd already moved my office. I wasn't working in the office at all. All my employees were still there. And I said, no, I exited. And they said, well, what, like, did you sell? No, I didn't sell. So I exited without exiting. And that was the first time that phrase, that concept really became a reality. And so as I started telling people that, it became intriguing to people. And ultimately, long story short, ultimately, I kind of doubled down on that messaging, started coaching people on how to do the same thing. I wrote the book, Exit Without Exiting, telling my story of how I exited the business. And I maintained full ownership of that business until the end of 2023. And I ultimately exited totally. So I don't own the business anymore. But that was how Exit Without Exiting was born.
That's inspiring, because, you know, people think there's, you know, you get into business, you get into real estate, you get into any type of endeavor where you're investing money or building something, then a good thought is, what are we going to do in the very end? Like, are we going to exit, or are we just going to hold on to perpetually and then eventually figure out what we're going to do? But thinking of exiting, whenever I coach somebody how to invest in real estate, a lot of people they ask me the question, well, Dustin, I have this property. Should I sell it or should I keep it? I'm like, well, what's the purpose of selling? Oh, I want the capital to be able to buy something else or do whatever they want with the money. I said, well, why don't we look at, instead of selling, because then you no longer have a property that makes you money, because if you buy a property, it makes you money in cash flow, then you're not going to have that property that makes you money, and it's not going to continue to grow equity. How about instead we do something? We figure out another way to get that money, which is what you want. Let's do a cash out refinance where it's a tax-free loan from the bank, and you don't have to pay taxes on it. Just like if you sold it, you have to pay taxes. Same thing. If you get the cash in your pocket without having to pay taxes, then you still have the property making you money, and then you use that to make more money. Is that the type of thinking, like when you have a business, when you talk about exiting without exiting, is it you get people in place, systems and procedures and processes? Is there also any way to tap into that equity that you've built in that business?
I'm sure there's a way to tap into the equity, but that is a whole different conversation. So Exit Without Exiting is really about getting yourself out of the weeds of daily operations. Think about it this way. There's three tiers of the entrepreneurial evolution. Tier one, at the bottom of the pyramid, if you think about this in terms of it like a pyramid or a triangle, tier one is the owner-operator. 90-95% of entrepreneurs never exit the owner-operator stage. That means they're focused on activity. They don't even understand the business is an asset. They're just focused on activity and revenue. That's it. And everything revolves around them. If they're not there, it doesn't get done. And that's where most businesses are today. And you know what? If that's what an entrepreneur wants to do, you just need to understand you're not really an entrepreneur. You're a business owner. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just what it is. Then there's tier two. And that's an owner manager. And I'd say, I don't know, 2-5%, maybe 5-8%, depending on which studies you look at. Entrepreneurs move into owner manager. And this is where the business still relies on them, but they're not doing the activity. They actually have teams and processes and employees to do that for them. But if they're not there, the business will suffer. And that's where I was. I was an owner manager. I had a really competent team that was doing most of the daily operations, but they still relied on me to move the ball forward. I was still there every day. I was still in every meeting. I still led every meeting, but I wasn't selling. I wasn't doing the projects. They were doing that. Tier three is owner investor. And now very few entrepreneurs, 2% entrepreneurs ever reach this. And that is an entrepreneur who is looking at the business as an asset, not as an activity, not as a job, not as something they have to do. And I think the most slept on passive income strategy for business owners is the fact that you can own a business as a passive investor, just like you can in real estate. I mean, your whole game is passive ownership of these companies, these businesses that are real estate, financially set up as real estate. You can do that as a business owner. You can own an ice cream shop, a cigar shop, a car dealership, a lighting company, whatever it is. And if you set it up the right way and become an owner investor, you can actually qualify for passive income tax treatment. If you work, and I'm not an accountant, so everybody who's checking this, you can go look, talk to your person.
Anytime you hear, unless somebody's an actual accountant, anytime you hear any advice, talk to your accountant.
Yes. So if you are working actively less than 750 hours a year in that business, that typically will qualify you to earn all that money earned is passive, which means no Social Security tax second, among other things. There's other things it would do. But most people only think of that in terms of real estate. Well, if I'm a real estate professional and I make $200,000 in passive income, that's not going to be taxed on Social Security. There's other tax benefits because it's passive. You don't have to pay tax on it. Well, you could do that in a business as well.
I like that idea. I like it because, well, that's one thing. I love passive income because when you build a business that has inventory, it doesn't matter. It could be real estate inventory. It could be candy bars, like whatever your company, your business owns. If you are able to figure out a way to make sure that other people are doing the work that the business can grow without you, then you have much more time on your hands where you can do whatever you want, build more businesses. That's what I love to do. Now, it sounds like a company has to have a lot of revenue in order to get there because you have to hire the right people. Is there like a stepping stone or like maybe a roadmap that somebody starting the business and then they got to go through a couple steps before they can actually do that because they have to have enough revenue, have the right team and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And I want to pause for just a quick second and say thank you so much for listening to the show. If you've gotten anything out of the show, I would appreciate it if you went to anywhere that you listen to, let's say Apple or Spotify or wherever, and leave a 5-star review. Honestly, I really appreciate you leaving an honest review. I just love giving all this information out and I want to see you succeed. Also, send this to one person. Just tell one person, say, hey, Dustin wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. You need to listen to this because it's going to change your life. Lastly, get my real estate investing course completely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, rental to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course showing you everything in the business so that you can become financially independent.
But we've created a roadmap. So we created XOS, which is the Exeter Operating System.
Okay.
And it's a 7-stage system to show you how to move from owner-operator, owner-manager into owner-investor. Now, you asked, is there a certain amount of revenue that they need? There's not a hard and fast number. But before I answer that question, and don't let me forget to go back to the revenue question because I want to address that. But I need to address something else. You're talking about this idea of passive ownership. We're talking about, is there revenue to get to places, all that type of stuff. Well, think about this. Your business has to have an exit plan or it is a dungeon. If you build a business, build a building with one way in, one way out, that's a jail. That's a dungeon, right? There's no exit. Yeah. You go to jail, there ain't no out. This is a one way in, you ain't getting out. Well, businesses are the same way. We build businesses with one way in and no way out. And I did that as an entrepreneur starting that business in 2010. I sure as heck didn't think about what it's going to be in 2020 when I exit or 2023 when I finally exit. I didn't think about that. And I didn't even contemplate it until 2018. And even at that point, I didn't understand what it really was going to look like. So how many business owners today, perhaps listening to the show, have never even sat down and thought, oh, what is it going to happen? Because you may say, well, no, I love doing what I do. I don't want to do anything else. That's fine. But you will exit that business, period. There's nobody who won't exit because you're either going to die, exit in a coffin, or you're going to succeed it to your kids who may or may not want it, or you're going to sell it to somebody else, or you're going to shut it down, which is what a lot of businesses are doing today. The baby boomer wave right now, most of those businesses are shutting down because they have no exit plan. By the way, call me. I can help you figure that out. But that, so there's that. Now, going back to your question about the revenue, there's no hard and fast number, but the reality is you can't set your business up to exit if you're the only person working in the business. It just doesn't.
You are the business.
Because you are the business. Yep. You're a job owner, not a business owner. Mm-hmm. So could an individual running a single shingle, I call it single shingle, a single shingle business be doing $10 million in revenue? Could they? For sure. And is that an exitable business? Yeah, I'm sure there's an investor somewhere that looked at that and go, something weird's happening here. I could step in and even if it goes down to $5 million, still great. Yeah, but those are anomalies. The normal business, running an ice cream shop, running a sandwich shop, whatever, you got to have a certain number of a dollar amount of revenue in order to build systems that are going to allow you to exit. So, yes. So in the Exeter Club, the mastermind that I lead, we only take people who are doing at least $3 million in revenue or more, or caveat, at least $300K in bottom line net profit. So we have some people that don't do $1 million in revenue, but they're high margin businesses. And the reason we have these financial guidelines to be in the Exeter Club is because we know you're going to have to make some hires. There's going to be some investments. Plus, you got to be able to afford the services that we're providing, because in the Exeter Club, and we have a finance coach, we have a legal coach, we have an investment banking coach. You get a free valuation when you come in. So we'll show you that. We have a mindset coach and we have a wealth manager all on our team. And so that's not free. That's not inexpensive. It is an investment in the mastermind. So that's why we have the financial requirements. So to go through those seven stages of the XOS method, stage one is basic delegation. Stage two is assemble your support squad. You got to have the people on your team, like a transaction coordinator in the real estate world or an administrative assistant. Step three is your A team. You start building the management team that's going to be able to manage the business while you're not there. And then step four is when you start systematizing things and automating things. Most coaches, that's the difference between me and most coaches, they start at step four. Mm-hmm. Hey, you just got to have the right systems. If the systems have no delegation plan and they still rely on you as the owner, it's just a system that relies on you. Is it better than no system? For sure. But it ain't going to make your business exitable. And then step five is going to be doing the optimizing your cash flow, like creating a cash flow machine. Mm-hmm. So we'll show you how to set your business up for there's recurring revenue, there's reoccurring revenue, and there's project revenue. So we'll show you how to figure out how to get to those. And then step six is exit without exiting. And there's where you get to the real choice. Do I maintain ownership? Or do I sell, which is step seven? And we can actually help you sell. We have one client going through a sell right now, and our whole team can help with that. We got the M&A attorney. We've got the investment banker. We can do all that.
That's fantastic, especially when somebody is going through the business and starting from scratch. And then, I mean, it's not easy to scale your business if you don't know what you're doing. You know, figure out you have a product, you want to start selling that, you can start that business and then hire a couple of people because you realize, oh, I got to, you know, get other people to do the work. But getting that roadmap to get to the point where you are understanding how to build the business instead of working in the business, I love that. What is your thought about having the business? At what point in this roadmap is it where you build the business so that, not that it can run without you, that's good, but then grow without you and increase in revenue without you? Is that step six? Is that, because I know seven is exiting without exiting.
I think it starts with stage three, which is getting your A team together. And I think we don't put enough stock in our A team. Entrepreneurs.
Who would be the A team?
Like? So your A team is your management team, your COO, your CFO, your general manager, your operations director. They're the people that are actually calling the shots day to day. So if you think about those three tiers, the owner, operator, owner, manager, owner, investor, owner managers start replacing themselves as manager. That's why they can move up. So they've got to have the A team to take over those slots in the middle. So I think entrepreneurs by nature are pretty egotistical, pretty self-centered. And some of those are in negative ways, but a lot of that's just in the natural way that, hey, I'm the best dude at this job. Nobody can do it better than me. Okay. That's probably true, at least for a time. But if we hang on to that mentality, I call that the hero syndrome. If we hang on to the hero syndrome, we stifle our business's ability to grow without us. It might be able to operate without us. We might be able to go away for 3 weeks, but when we get back, our inbox has 10,000 email messages and we missed 100 texts and everything stalled. It kept going, but it stalled until we got back. That is not what I'm talking about. So the A team, stage three, I think is the biggest place where you're, to answer your question, where that starts happening is we've got to start thinking about who do we put in there, and you got to be able to trust them. You got to hire them as the right fit for the organization more than their abilities, because you can train ability, you can't train fit. So you got to make sure that they fit. And then when you move to stage four, that systemization and optimization and automation, that's when you put them in charge of making those things happen. Because even if they're on vacation, the system should still work.
That's, yeah, 100%. And when it can run without you and grow without you, it seems like it's exitable without exiting, as you say, because you have everybody else doing all the work for you. So if somebody were to get started in the process, you know, they already have a business, they're already making some money. And so is one of the best ways to get started is not the systems. Like you said, we got to get the right people in place. That's usually, you know, finding somebody on LinkedIn, or, you know, do you have a hack to find good people?
I do. I'm glad you asked that. And you didn't know this. We didn't set this up.
We did not.
So we teach in the Exeter Club a 10-step process for finding, hiring, onboarding, and training the right teams. And I'll give you a recent success story. So we've got a client who joined the Exeter Club late last year. Can't remember when it was, November, December. And he has a very small business. It's all online. He has one full-time employee, and she is more of a doer. She's not a manager. It's like she's doing stuff like writing copy, and she's maintaining some of the stuff on the website, but she's a doer. She's not a manager. And as he came into the Exeter Club and started getting exposed to everything we teach, it was pretty natural for him to go, I have to have an A team. I already have a support squad. I don't need many. Like, yeah, she is the support squad. I've got to have an A team member, or I will never be able to walk away from this business. That was his realization. So we showed him our system, our 10-step system. And this is not indicative of normal results. I want to say that. And it's what everybody says, but he did our plan. He had 700 applicants for a general manager position, which blows my mind. I don't even know how that's possible. I'm certain that at least half of those weren't even remotely qualified, but hundreds mm-hmm. of applicants. And I remember the day that they started rolling in, he sends me a video clip of his screen, like a video recording on our Signal app, was how we communicate with our clients in the Exeter Club. And it was just scrolling and scrolling on an Excel spreadsheet. And I couldn't see it on my phone. I didn't know what it was. And I wrote back, like, what am I looking at? I don't understand. He goes, this is 700 people who've applied for this position. What do I do now? Now, I didn't have that in the thing. I didn't, like, yeah. That has never happened. So ultimately, he called it down to about 90. And he did the next step in our process, which culled it down to, I think, less than 15. And he had interviews with, I think, maybe 5 or 6. And he hired somebody. And it went fast. He went through that process. So yes, we do have a process to help you find the right people. But the other thing that just happened, like this is the first time I'm announcing on the podcast, is that we just partnered with a national recruiting agency as an exclusive partner with the Exeter Club to provide their headhunting and recruiting services. So now you can do it yourself, and we have a plan for that. Or if you say, you know what, I'd rather pay a little extra, and I want somebody else to run the process. So we now have a partnership with a company that has 15 offices across the United States, and they can recruit in every industry. So if you need a financial person, you need an assistant, you need a salesperson, you need an engineer, the Exeter Club now has a partnership with a company that does that for our members.
And I've found the more busy that I get, the more likely I am to say, I just don't have the time to do this. I want to hire somebody else. I want somebody else to take care of this for me. So many times, like even just recently, with all the things from buying real estate to running my online businesses, live in-person events, like all those things, it just takes up so much time. And then I'm like, because I'm also pretty frugal. Like I'm really, really frugal. And then it took me to realize if I don't have an assistant, then I'm the assistant. Like if I'm not paying somebody, let's say $25 an hour, then I'm my time, because I'm doing that assistant type stuff, mm-hmm. is $25 an hour. I'm like, I know I'm worth more than that because I make a lot more than that. And so I'm like, so it wakes me up to realize in finding the right people to put in place, it really just more frees you up. It frees you up to have more time, because in the end, what I try to do is build businesses that are more passive, where I have other people doing work. I have my properties work for me. You know, let's say my conference, having people come. And I have awesome people that run the business as opposed to me doing it. But then also, like, getting quick back to the idea, being able to pay somebody to buy back your time, to have your time, because that's the one commodity you only spend. You can't create, make, earn, or get any more of. And mm-hmm. so if you could spend that little bit of money, it could be a lot of money, but then to give a year, 2 years of your life back, how valuable is that? So once somebody does exit without exiting, what's the next step? Do you guys walk anybody through, like, okay, now your life is different. Let's see what we can do differently.
That's part of what we focus on, is how do you prepare for the next stage? How do you get ready for that next, this next big opportunity? Because most of the guys we work with are probably in their 30s and 40s, 50s, maybe. We have one guy is an 80. That is pretty cool. We love him. He's awesome. He's been in business longer than all of us have been alive. You know, this is pretty cool. But most of what I'm saying that is most of the guys have no intention of hanging it up and going sitting on a beach. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not their retirement. Is
I'm not like that either.
Yeah, no, and most of us are not like that. Some are, and some are ready. Like, I'm done. I put my 40 years in. I'm ready to go. But most are going to want another thing. They're going to want another business, another opportunity. The guy that we're working with right now in the Exeter Club to sell his business is I want to say he's in his 30s, and he started this business by himself. It's a service-based, home-based business, and it's doing great. And he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I am not interested in it. I have another thing I want to do. I want to do some traveling. Okay, that's cool. So his next step, he's got it figured out, and we're helping him put that together. So we have a plan called the X plan, and the X plan framework is examine, like, first of all, what is it that you want? Do you want to retire, or do you want to start another business? You want to buy another business, or what, you want to spend time with family? You want to go on a mission trip for 3 years? What do you want to do? That's examine. P is prioritize. Like, what are your priorities? What are you wanting to accomplish? And then L is leverage. What can you leverage to get there? Is it people? Is it systems? Is it money? A is activate. Okay, how are you going to activate this to make it happen? And N is where you're actually going to make the necessity of what you have to accomplish to make it all come down. So you've got to go through and navigate. That's what the N stands for. I said necessity. It's navigate. You navigate the system by putting in the stop signs along the way. Okay, at 30 days, this better happen. At 60 days, this better happen. At 90, we've got another client. He has his business listed for sale, and he came into the Exeter Club thinking, I want you guys to help me figure this out. So before anything, he already had it listed, came in and said, can you help us get through this process? And what we discovered is his business was not ready. He had a lot of things he needed to put together. That doesn't mean it wasn't a great business. He has a great business. It just wasn't ready. So he wondered, well, why am I not getting any offers? Why am nobody looking at this? And our coaching team looked at it and said, here's why. And he gets it. But his X plan is leading to, he has bought a 3-year round the world trip on a cruise ship. I've never even known this existed, but he did. He bought this thing and he's like, I leave in September of 2025. So when he came in late last year, he's like, we got to get this thing done by 2025. And so we met with him recently to kind of get more of his X plan put together. And I told him, I said, dude, I don't see how we're going to be ready by September. I said, how does that change your life? How does that change what you're going to accomplish? He said, well, there's going to be some things that happen. And so what we're doing is we're going back and looking at that L and the plan, the leverage. What can we leverage to get you on the boat? But you're still going to have to operate the company from remotely. Are you open to that? Yeah. Yeah. Now, ultimately, or originally, he wanted to step away and have it done, sold out. But now he started to understand the exit without exiting mentality. Oh, so with a laptop and internet connection, which he won't have the internet everywhere, but he's going to have it most places he goes. He said, so I can actually leverage that opportunity and I could run it. And the way that deal works is pretty cool. Is he can disembark anywhere on the journey, come back home, spend a month or two, and then go back and hop on the boat at the next stop, which I didn't know. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's
pretty like
cool.
He actually bought a lease, a 15-year lease on this boat. It's pretty cool, but it's a 3-year journey. They do every 3 years. It just keeps cycling. That's not me. I wouldn't do it.
That's what
he wants to do. So what we're doing with him is we're coaching him through how to leverage. That's what the L is, to leverage through how do you make it happen? Because you got your priority. His ex, what he wanted to begin with, his examine was, I want to sell. He's like, you know what? I'll exit without exiting. Okay, now priorities. What's your priorities? I have to get operations and sales covered. Okay, then how do we leverage to get that covered so that you can get on the boat? And then activate. The activate part is we started picking dates. Okay, 30 days, you have to have this happen. If you don't hit this 30-day window and this hasn't happened, if you get lazy, you're not going to be able to accomplish this. You're going to not get on the boat in September. And then 60 days and then 90 days. So we're running that through. And then the navigate part, which is funny because he's getting on a boat, navigate. So the navigate part is we're going to help him navigate this whole thing. That's the whole point of the Exeter Club.
Man, this is fantastic. I love talking about business. In fact, even though I invest in real estate, what it comes down to is I'm not an investor. I'm a business owner. My business owns inventory, which is my properties. I just love every type of business. So this is, we could talk forever, but Jason, I know people want to reach out to you, find you. How can they find you online? How can they connect with you?
You just Google The Real Jason Duncan. You're going to find me. You can, have you ever used perplexity.ai?
No, I have not.
That's the coolest. It's the coolest new AI, perplexity.ai. This is not what it doesn't only do what I'm about to tell you, But you can go in there and put who is and then the person's name. Now, obviously, if it's John Smith or David Jones or something, there's too many of those. But there's not many Dustin Heiners in the world. And if you just put the real Jason Duncan, who is the real Jason Duncan, you'll find everything out there about me. As a matter of fact, you're going to be on my show, The Root of All Success, soon. And that's part of how I put together the show notes and the questions I'm going to be asking you. I went to perplexity.ai, I did that. But anyhow, just Google The Real Jason Duncan, Instagram The Real Jason Duncan, YouTube The Real Jason Duncan. That's where you're going to find me.
And check out his podcast, The Root of All Success. So, yes. Jason, thank you so much for being on, man.
It's an honor, man. Thanks for having me.
And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777, R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.